Chapter 1, The Promised Land. It was one of the most important and little-noticed events in American sports history. It happened on a balmy summer day in 1941 on a cramped clay tennis court at the Cosmopolitan Club in Harlem, a leader among a growing number of Negro tennis clubs in the country at the time whose members represented the elite echelons of Black society. At the far end of the court was a skinny 13-year-old girl wearing torn blue jeans and a formidable scowl. At the other end stood a one-armed tennis coach sporting his trademark green visored cap. Watching from the stands were a couple of dozen men and women neatly turned out in pressed collared shirts and tailored floral dresses who were taking a midday break to watch what they had been told was one of the most promising young players to come on the tennis scene. If she was as good as they said she was, the Cosmopolitan Club might just consider sponsoring her for major competitions. They did not like what they saw. The girl wore a shoddy t-shirt and torn blue jeans, and her tangled black hair was an unruly mess. She was not at all the type sought by the Cosmopolitan, whose members prided themselves on pursuing the aristocratic sport of tennis. The way she strode brazenly around the court was just flat out alarming to those watching from the stands who had expected a far more genteel approach to the game. Truth be told, they couldn't quite tell if she was a boy or a girl, the way she carried herself. Had they heard correctly that someone had actually called her Al? And was that really a used tennis racket in her hand? One well-heeled spectator sniffed to her neighbor. They didn't know the half of it. Althea Gibson, yes, they were looking at a girl, was one of the toughest street fighters in Upper Harlem, the leader of the 146th Street Gang, and the queen of the snitchers, or petty thieves, known to ply their trade at the Bronx Terminal Market. Most days, she didn't bother to go to school at all, choosing instead to while away the afternoons in the theaters, watching what she called the flickers, or roaming around the city. She'd learned her fighting skills from her father, Daniel, a stocky garage mechanic who had taught her to box in brutal sessions that left her body badly bruised and her spirit sapped. Not surprisingly, Althea did her best to stay out of his way. Sometimes, when she didn't bother to come home for days at a time, her father would beat her with his belt until red welts appeared on her back, just to remind her who was boss. More than once, when she couldn't bear to go back to their cramped third-floor apartment and endure another one of his beatings, she passed the night dozing on a subway car, riding the train alone for the entire night, up and down the length of the city from Van Cortlandt Park to New Lots Avenue and then back again. 4 years, this pattern played out in a vicious circle that stained Althea's childhood, one not unlike that unfolding in many other Harlem tenements. Althea Gibson had a rough side, without question, but she was also an astonishing athlete with a burning desire to win. When Buddy Walker, a Harlem saxophonist at the time, who worked a second job helping city police monitor children playing on the streets, happened to notice her impressive speed and aggressive athleticism, he bought her a pair of restrung rackets for $5 apiece. But when he and some of his friends urged her to try out tennis at the Cosmopolitan Club on 149th Street, Althea balked. "What do I get out of it?" she asked.